of the gospel. This is, comes from Romans 15:16. Let's make you noise. Eh? Maybe I'm too still. Is it better? The laboring priest of the gospel. Because in Romans so far, we can see the brothers always mentioning the book of Romans is a fifth gospel. Amen. And in, actually in this book, Paul twice used to call, he called my gospel. According to my gospel. First of all, brothers use Genesis 1:26-28 quite frequently recently, particularly with the term dominion and a domain. Because within the dominion, the Lord has dominion. But in order to have dominion in this domain, he needs generations after generations of his children to have and to exercise his dominion. So we want to read some verses first. And again, these verses are all very familiar to us. But we want to refresh our vision through these verses first. Let's read 126, Genesis 1:26-28 again. And God said, let us make a man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of heaven, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of heaven, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Our God had the ordination for his created being to be subdued by one particular creature, that is us. Because what we were created is in his likeness and after his image. With this image and dominion, he charged us to subdue all the creations. In order to carry out all his purpose through man, and he himself, we know, gone through all the steps, all the processes through the years. First, working among men. And through his incarnation, his human living, and his death and resurrection, he became the life-giving spirit and began to work within man. So in the book of Romans, the whole book is talking about after his resurrection, what he's doing as the life-giving spirit. So the first four Gospels are talking about his incarnation until he complete his redemption. This organic salvation, or the salvation of the soul, is fully manifested in the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, our God was revealed in 12 aspects. I want to go through that part very quickly so we also can have a fresh memory on this. First of all, Romans shows us our God in his creation. That is in chapter 1:19-20. It's talking about our God, though is invisible, yet his power and the divine nature were fully manifested and can be apprehended by us through his creations. Second, also Romans reveals to us God, because men fell, he exercised his condemnation. This part is the whole chapter of Romans chapter 2 is talking about God's condemnation. Because his created man fell. upon the temptation of Satan. Third, Romans tells us God did not give up us. He did not give up. Even though in chapter 1, three times he used gave up. But for his chosen ones, for his own purpose, he did not give up on us. So in chapter 3 to 4, we saw his justification. Even though he condemned, he judged, but still his mercy and passion upon us, he exercised his redemption first. In chapter 3, our God is in his redemption. In chapter 3 and 4, we saw God in justification. He is righteous, and he cannot be unrighteous. Our God is a righteous God. By his righteous judgment, we all have fell and deserve to die. But he himself became a man, and came, died on our behalf. And for this vicarious death, and all of us being justified and redeemed and brought back to our own God. And in chapter 5, we saw our God is a God of reconciliation. In chapter 5, he reconciled of this our Creator, our own God, with the judged and fell human beings. For this reconciliation, we're not only sinners, brought the sinners back to him, but also reconciled his enemies with himself. Also, we saw in Romans 6, realize we, not only children of God, and he gave us the identification. When I first came to New York City, the church in New York City, Brother James used this word very much so. Identity and identification. Actually, Romans 6 is our Lord is identifying himself with us and giving us identification with himself. Furthermore, when we see this identification with him, because our God is a God of a holy, his holiness is his nature. So through identification, he brought in sanctification. This sanctification is upon us in our daily walk with him. Through we are identifying with our God. The number 8 is talking about in chapter 8, our God will bring us into glorification. Our God is a God of glorification, and also will bring us into glorification. On the 9th aspect, our God is further revealed that his love that secures our destiny. This is also revealed in the later part of chapter 8. In justification, he has made us partakers of his righteousness. In sanctification, he's working his holiness into our being. And in glorification, he will bring us into his glory. His love is the security of all these things. His love is the security of all these things. The 10th item, talking about God, is Romans 9 through 11. Also, Brother James, a few weeks ago, brought this new light into these three chapters. This is a part, as been seen, the selection in his economy. The economy in his selection. It is not that we have selected him, but rather he chose us, and he selected us. His selection determined our destiny. At last Saturday, our brother was talking about destiny. This is our destiny. The 11th item is our God is glorified in the body of Christ. This is in Romans 12. In chapter 12, God is in the body. And he's not only our God, in the spirits of the believers, But also our God is a corporate and a collective entity in the body of Christ. Finally, Romans unfolds to us that our God is expressed in the church life. This is a part we can see from chapter 12 all the way through chapter 16. He is a God in the church life. Is a fully manifested and also expressed through our daily church life. The body of Christ is a spiritual and a universal, of course. It has to be expressed practically in various localities as churches. Our God is expressed in Christ, and Christ is expressed in his body. And the body of Christ is expressed in the churches. And church in New York City, of course, is a glorious church and is a glorious expression and a manifestation of our dear Lord and our God. So these are the 12 items. Our God has been expressed, revealed, and manifested in the book of Romans. In today's portion is talking about a laboring priest, for the gospel. In Genesis 1, our God's purpose is fully expressed in such a short sentences, only three verses. The purpose of our God in his creation, in creating man, is fully expressed. For generations upon generations, he needs his created being, particularly man, to express him. Particularly man, to represent him and to have dominion, exercise dominion for him. For this generations upon generations, of course, this is can be through birth, through procreation, from generations to generations. But in the church life, I want to turn to the point. In the church life, our brothers mentioned, there are two sources for the believers to come in. One is through procreation, our giving birth from family to our next generation, from generations to generations in the families. That's why we have marriages, we have families, we encourage the saints to have more children in the church life. This is on one hand, but the society, the whole world, putting a string and some string in some areas, even putting arbitrary limitations on the procreation. So our Lord gave us another way, is to preach the gospel. He is the gospel, and we need to preach him in order to really dispense him into many of his chosen and called ones. And many of you are sitting here may not have the chance to believe in the Lord yet. I myself was one of you. And I came to this country for 12 years. I chased away Jesus many times. I shut the door to many gospel preachers. I even tell them, never come back again. And you know what? 12 years later, I myself felt I had everything in the world, but such a strong and intensified vanity, and I turned to him myself. And the gospel, our Lord is charging us to go to the end of the earth to preach the gospel. Let's take a look at Acts 1:8. In Acts 1:8, we saw this is when the disciples were asking the Lord, when are you going to revive the nation of Israel? Because all what they are thinking is a very small picture. Their domain is a very small. Their domain, when they were thinking, is just the nation of Israel. Even though our God is talking about the nation of Israel, of course, there is an earthly nation of Israel. But there is a heavenly of nation of Israel. And today we are the real Israelites. So in Acts 1:8, let's read it again. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. This is a part we witnessed in chapter 2 of Acts. The Holy Spirit fell upon the 120, and then they begin to preach gospel in different tongues. And that day, about 3,000 came to know the Lord and got baptized. However, our Lord's intention is not only stay in Jerusalem, not only stay in Judea, not even only to Samaria. His intention is the gospel to be brought to the uttermost of the land. And in order to do that, he needs his disciples to be witnesses. Here the key word is the witnesses. Because here the witness, that word in Greek is a martyrs, is a martyr. In English it's a martyr, which means you're willing to sacrifice everything, including our own life, in order to bring this gospel to Jerusalem, to Judea, to Samaria, and to the uttermost of the earth. In those days, there's no GPS, there's no land service. People were thinking about it, the end of the earth is Spain. They even not thinking about jumping over Spain, the other side is Morocco. But what they were thinking about is Spain is the end of the earth. In those days, I don't know if the people knows the earth is round yet, even though the Bible already told us so, and the earth is suspended in the expanse. Our Lord is sitting above the bigger circle of the earth. But I don't know if those days people know there is another side of the earth is U.S. There are many other continents everywhere. However, in Paul's mind, in those days, Spain was his longing to bring and to realize this verse in his journeys. That's why in the book of Romans, he mentioned, I want to meet you, visit you on my way to Spain. So, brothers and sisters, this is our Lord's charge. Of course, our Lord knows our limitations in space and in time. That's why I thought our brother brought us to a higher level, to a more universal view of Genesis 1:26 to 1:28, in space and in time. This dominion has been expanded from our, maybe sometimes ages ago or days ago, some time ago, our understanding of Genesis 1:26. And personally, in the past few months, I had a different view of Genesis 1:26 to 1:28 through this expansion in space and in time. When Paul was charged with this gospel, with this commission, and he expressed in one place, I enjoyed and I modeled after very much so. I want to share that verse with you. That's in Acts 20. Want to see Acts 20? This is Acts 20, 24 to 28. Particularly 24, let's read 24. But I consider my life of no account, as if precious to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus, to solemnly testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Here Paul was talking about it to the elders of the church in Ephesus. He called them down and fellowshipping with them, and this is one verse, strikingly clear. What our brother Paul, he considered his own life of no account, not precious to himself, in order that he may finish his course and the ministry which he has received from our Lord Jesus, and to solemnly testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And yesterday I joined a memorial meeting for one dear sister who was almost 96 years old. And I used this verse because about 3 years ago, I myself pondering, what would I put on my tombstone? So I wrote about 60 different tombstones for many, many brothers and sisters in the Bible. And for example, Judah's tombstone is very easy. Our Lord already put it there. He said, it's probably better for him not to be born. But I was asking my Lord, Lord, what kind of what kind of inscriptions should I put on my tombstone? And I was praying. With the circumstances, I will give you testimony later, not this time. Okay. And this is a verse our Lord gave to me. And even today, when I was sharing this, I almost can touch Paul's pulse, because this is exactly the dear saints today. We should all have this kind of heart. And we are witnessing many faithful ones sitting here have this heart, having the practice of this verse through the years. We do pray that this verse will become an encouragement to many. Also, this verse is a reflection of Romans 15 and 16. Paul said he is a laboring priest of the gospel of God. Let's read this verse again. For I consider my life of no account, as if precious to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I have received from the Lord Jesus, to solemnly testify of the gospel of the grace of God. For this, you can see Paul is the one who sacrificed everything for the gospel. And of course, he has the qualification to use Romans 12:1 to encourage us, even with a compassion, asking us, even beseeching us, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Brothers and sisters, he was a witness. He was a martyr. And he lived a life of martyrdom, even while he was living. And this verse is a true reflection of his walk while on his journey preaching the gospel. If we read another verse, we see 12:1, Romans 12:1. This is the one we are very familiar with for the past few months. Romans 12:1. Let's read together. I exhort you, therefore, brothers, through the compassions of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. Dear saints, Paul is beseeching us with the compassions of God, asking us, even begging us, or charging us, to present our body. Our body presented as a living sacrifice. This is not something out of the ordinary. Ordinary people, we can do extraordinary things. If we present ourselves completely yielding ourselves for the services as Paul has done to himself. This is what his charge. This is our reasonable services. And in Colossians, Paul really, that's when he was imprisoned. He was imprisoned, we know, many times, but in Colossians, he expressed his inner feelings to us as a laboring priest. What was he laboring for, and what was the purpose of he was laboring for? Let's read Colossians 1, 24 to 28. I want to read all these verses together, because these verses speaks much better than my utterances. Because when I prepare all these verses, I was moved quite a few times. Because these verses is the inner part, the inner feeling of Paul, an imprisoned servant of God. Even though he cannot travel, even though he cannot do much, he was still laboring in his spirit, still laboring in his prayers for the gospel. Even while he was writing the book of Colossians, he brought another escaped slave, Onesimus, to the Lord, and even sent him back to the church in Colossae. Let's read these verses first. I now rejoice in my sufferings on your behalf, and fill up on my part that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship of God, which was given to me for you to complete the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from the generations, but now has been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we announce, admonishing every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man full grown in Christ, for which also I labor, struggling according to his operation, which operates in me in power. Now he's telling us his suffering is for the body of Christ. Is when our Lord died on the cross, he completed the redemption and his salvation. However, in order to build up the body of Christ, the lacking of his suffering not only being fulfilled or being filling up through Paul's suffering, the body of Christ is still yet being built up. Even today, as we are sitting here enjoying his letter, enjoying his teaching, we are building up the body of Christ. So today, that suffering continues. That afflictions continues. Many maybe have sufferings and afflictions physically. All of us are suffering in one way or another psychologically. Particularly the salvation of the soul for the building up of the body of Christ is there can be very great sufferings to many. As we're sitting here today, saints, I don't know what's going through your mind. Our Lord is calling us today. And we're reading these verses. We can see what Paul is going through is still praying for the saints, praying for the building up of the body of Christ, still praying for many Gentiles to be brought to the Lord, not only to know the Lord, but also grow in the Lord until we all full grown in Christ. So he can present us mature in life, in stature, for the building up of the body of Christ. That's why he said, for which also I labor, struggling according to his operation, which operates in me in power. Since today, this spirit in Paul needed to be exercised in us. Not only to bring the Gentiles to the church life, to the Lord, but also struggle for the saints. Of course, not a struggling with the saints, but in our prayers, in our shepherding, and in our visitation, in opening our homes, in caring for the saints, we needed to labor and struggle. Many times, and we all have jobs, even though I'm serving full-time, I labor and struggle very much so. And sometimes going through the whole day, you might get tired, but the Lord may remind you of some saints. When you call them, or even greet them, or you invite them for a meal, that's a labor and a struggle. Many times, you may not feel you have the energy left to open your home, to invite some saints to come to have a small meal with you. That's labor and struggling. Today, with our current situation, saints, the gospel needs to go out to all the nations. When Paul, in the book of Romans, he used the word Gentiles at least 23 times. Because the Gentiles, the Greek word is ethnos. Today we talk about ethnicity. Ethnicity is different nations, different languages, different color, different, many, many different things. But ethnos is what Paul was charged to be apostles for. He said, I'm apostle for the Gentiles. That's the non-Jews. So his gospel in the book of Romans, he was talking about mainly to the Gentiles, which you and I, we were Gentiles once. And now today we were brought into the Lord, into his body, into the household of God. And today, of course, we are the true Israelites in the New Testament. So when Paul was talking about Gentiles, his concern, you can see at the beginning of the book of Romans, he said he was called and separated unto the gospel of God. He also declared he was not ashamed of the gospel. He was not ashamed of the gospel. Many times, of course, we want to preach the gospels of our Lord Jesus as revealed in the four gospel books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. But Paul mentioned it twice, is according to my gospel. What is Paul's gospel? So this is a gospel that in the New Testament is mostly preached to the Gentiles. That gospel is the gospel is our Lord has gone through all the processes. Now today, as a life-giving spirit, and still dispensing himself into many of his chosen and called ones in order to bring us into the church life, into the body of Christ, and also to perfect us, to build up the body of Christ. So for the Gentiles, Paul is laboring and struggling, and sometimes he even striving to bring many Gentiles to the Lord. If we talk about in Paul's days, most of his travelings are on foot and by boat. I don't know if he got a chance to ride, to rode any horse until chapter 9 in Acts. Before that, he might be traveling in a fashion. But after that, after he turned to the Lord, he was captured by the vision. His traveling is unstoppable. If we see all the journeys he's going through, and I don't know, brothers and sisters, even though given us, we have cars today, we have highways today, and we even have airplanes today, I don't know if we're going to travel that much and labor that much as what Paul has done so. So when he talk about laboring saints, we need to have that impression. Not only thinking about, he was just talking. No. He has been traveling so much from place to place. Even to a point in Romans 15. Today, one of the verses is, in this region, I have no place to preach anymore. Brothers and sisters, I personally don't have many of those experiences, but only this one time I testify to you. Another brother and I, in 5 days, we drove about 3,200 miles visiting 6 small places, trying to visit the saints and preach gospel. And when we returned the rental car in the airport, in Raleigh Airport, the person who received our car back, he was in awe. He said, how did you guys drive? That's today's fashion. We have hamburgers to eat. We have a Coke to drink along the way. In Paul's days, brothers and sisters, I don't know how did he travel. This is laboring. This is struggling. Saints, today, our days here, I don't know how many days, how many months, how many years the Lord will grant us, each individually. But as we are still here, saints, I want to emphasize the laboring priest. Today, all the ethnicities probably congregated in the city of New York. I'll give you some stats. In the New York City area, in the 2013 stat, New York City legal residents is about 8.4 million. That's about 500,000 more than the whole state of New Jersey. In Long Island, 2.8 million population. If you include the undocumented, quote-unquote, illegal immigrants, the number rumored to be 13 million in numbers in New York City. Since we don't care who is what, everybody is legal in the kingdom of God, as long as they are willing to enter. In this great metropolitan area, 26% of the population are Spanish speaking. Brothers and sisters, if you are speaking Spanish here, you have a greater responsibility to preach this gospel, the gospel of Paul, to all this Spanish-speaking saints, this Spanish-speaking population. And in our area, in Queens, 210,000 Indian immigrants. Saints, if you are of any Indian heritage, do pray for this group of immigrants. I won't dwell on the numbers, but in this great metropolitan area, the church in New York City should be a shining golden lampstand to all the nations, to all the languages, to all tongues, to all colors, to all walks of people. In this city, there are so many seeking ones facing adversary conditions, and given the perverted age, there are a lot of seeking ones. This nation, just like pictured in Daniel 2, is becoming more and more polarized in every aspect. That's why the seeking ones, the truly truth-seeking ones, are struggling. We need to bring the gospel of Paul forward to them. Not only the gospel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, but also the gospel in the book of Romans to all the seeking ones, to all the struggling ones. Every walk of the people, every language, every group, every ethnicity, all the Gentiles who are waiting for the glad tidings. My time is almost up. My burden this morning is, saints, I want to see the picture of Paul, what he has been going through in his days, and what he charges us today. And I want to read Romans 15, 16. Let's read it together. That I might be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, a laboring priest of the gospel of God, in order that the offerings of the Gentiles might be acceptable, having been sanctified in the Holy Spirit. We know in this verse, the sacrifices are the living, saved saints. Paul has been a laboring priest in order to bring many Gentiles to the Lord as a living sacrifices. And in Romans 12:1, as life grows in the saints, we all are willing to consecrate and give ourselves to the Lord as a corporate living sacrifice. In Colossians 1:28, Paul's desire is to nurture and help and pray for the saints so they can grow and mature in life, so we can all be presented as a full-grown man to the Lord for the building up of the body of Christ. However, in order to do that, we witness Paul's laboring and struggle. Saints, today, most of us, we have opportunities to have a contact with our colleagues, with our friends, with our family members, with our relatives, with many seeking Christians, with our neighbors. We don't have to look afar. Our friends, our relatives, our family members, our colleagues, and our neighbors, many of them are scattered, squandering their time. Some of them may be seeking the truth, yet cannot find it. Since we need to have burdens for all of them, and we need to open our mouth, open our home, to preach the gospel to them, and to receive them into our homes, into the church life. Because when Paul, wherever he goes, there's one family was met up with him in Corinth, later become co-workers, and even give their necks to Paul. That's Aquila and Priscilla. That family, in the book of Romans, of course, Paul really exalted them and praised them for what they have done, not only for him, not only for the church in Rome, but for all the churches. Saints, in the New York City area, anyone we met, anyone we preach to, anyone we bring to the church life, New York City is only a transient place. Many young ones, many job-seeking ones, many come to the New York City area. They may be scattered into other parts of the world, into other parts of the nation, and they will become the seed of the gospel. So that's why in New York City is so uttermost important that the population, the mobile population is so high in this great city. And our testimony here, we do have the burden, we do have the charge and the responsibility to preach the gospel to them. Last Saturday, our brother used the destiny, our destiny, actually God's ordination and our destiny as the title to open up last weekend's blending. And our God's ordination, I think today's burden is very clear. We need to preach this gospel. And our destiny is to preach the gospel in cooperation with our Lord. And today, I think what we are here, most of us leading a peaceful, tranquil life. I don't know if that's good or bad. We needed to really rise up, to be stirred up, to preach the gospel. Because the gospel is a mobile and in motion gospel. When the gospel was preached in the early days, you can see if they stay in one place, that place might not become so vital. Jerusalem is an example. However, in the church in Antioch, a brother mentioning Antioch many, many times recently, the church in Antioch is a gospel preaching and also is forward looking and also sending saints out to preach the gospel. That's why that church become a milestone in the Lord's move in his economy. And that church become a milestone for the move of the Lord to the rest of the world, particularly to Asia Minor, and to Europe. We do hope, brothers and sisters, even though our utterance is so limited, and that the laboring priest is a laboring priest to care for others, to care for the goodness of others, for the enjoyment of the Lord, to shepherd others, to really have a kind heart, the heart of our Lord Jesus, a heart of Paul for the Gentiles. And for this, I think Paul's laboring was not in vain. Even though by the end of his lifetime, all the churches in Asia Minor abandoned him. However, he was not delusional. He saw the vision. Even when he declared, he was not forsook the heavenly vision to the Gentiles. And also here we should understand, he was not delusional of the vision he received. And today this vision is presented to us. So saints, I do hope, you know, even though it's my first time to share with you, I do hope my burden got discharged a little bit. Take my burden as a genuine. And I just want to add one word. This is how I lived for the 18 years in the church life myself. And for the first 3 years in the church life, we were burdened by this laboring priest of the gospel. And in three some years, we preached the gospel and brought in about 350 young working saints. And most of the saints serving in New York, in New Jersey churches, they were brought in those three summer years. But New Jersey is a very less populated place, even though it's one of the most populated state in the United States. But the most populated city is New York City. The second most populated city is Los Angeles. It's only 3.8 million population. So New York City is three times larger than Los Angeles. Since all the nations, all the Gentiles, all the ethnos comes and go through New York City. Since we have the historical responsibility, what we call the ultimate responsibility in this age, to preach this gospel to anyone in our neighborhood, our relatives, our friends, our colleagues, and sometimes even our classmates, if you are still in school. And since this laboring priest of the gospel, we do hope can be enrolled into the saints in New York City, so we can all rise up to preach gospel and to carry this responsibility forward. By the end, I want to sing a hymn. This is a hymn 930. This is the hymn I sang many times, particularly when I become tired, become weak. Sometimes I do become disappointed too. And this hymn always lifted me up. This is a hymn some story told. Is a dying, newly saved, dying sinner. And when she was on her deathbed, a pastor came to her and asked her if she has any regrets. She said, "I sinned all my life. Now I'm saved. But I don't have time to preach gospel to many other sinners." And that preacher said, "I will write a hymn for this burden. And whoever sings and to bring the sinners to the Lord, and your reward is in their portion." So this is the hymn I personally sang many times. I hope this hymn will become yours. Let us not go empty-handed to meet our Lord, because this is what the Lord is asking us. We need to rise up to preach the gospel. Let's sing it together. Lord, forgive our lack of utterance. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening our burden. Amen. Oh, thank you for your burning spirit. Amen. Lord, you know our heart. Amen. You know our desire. Amen. You know our earnest. Amen. Lord, oh, burn in the church in New York City. Amen. Oh, many saints will be stirred up and aroused. Amen. To rise up to preach the gospel. Amen. So when we meet you that day, not empty-handed shall I go. Lord, today, oh, the coming days, in the church in New York City, raised up many laboring priests for the gospel, Lord. Everyone should rise up to preach the gospel. We received, we enjoyed, and we rejoiced. Lord, we should send it forward. Send it to all the seeking ones. Lord, bless your church. Bless the saints. Bless our heart. Give us the heart of Paul. Give us the heart of Paul's desire to preach the gospel to all the nations, to consider our own life no account, willing to sacrifice everything to become the witnesses of the gospel, particularly in this dark and perverted age. Oh, rescue many, Lord. Rescue many to your church. Rescue many to you, to your body, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Amen. Saints, if you want, you can pray a little. Amen.